Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. Commanders up 10-7 on the Lions. Got about 3.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Durante Jones, see him talking to his defense right now. Look, I'll tell you this, the defense looks aggressive. It has not been perfect. I don't expect it to be perfect. It is still preseason. But we've got a large sample size of the Commanders' defense, right? They've been out there a bunch because the offense has not moved the ball well. We got one drive from Jaden Daniels, which was a 3-and-out. I mean, didn't even complete a pass. It was nothing. They just did nothing. The offensive line really had no protection. It was not going to help. By 3rd and 20, they just said, let's run the football and get out of here, which makes you wonder whether or not coaching staff looked around and said, Jaden Daniels just took a sack. The offensive line's not protecting anybody. Maybe we sit him the rest of the way. Because, again, there's no purpose to Jaden Daniels going out there and having one tiny little 3-and-out and saying that's it and that there was actually any value to it. And it was probably them being more cautious, which I'm all for at this point because I don't want to see him get hurt. But it's like if you commit, are you going to even use the preseason at all? Why even put him out there? Like, why put him out there at all? I get it. The hope was maybe that, hey, the offensive line might protect him a little bit, but it is what it is. So it's a 10-7 Commanders over the Lions now, and just would like to see something from this Commanders offense. Ethan Calliope-Manis, 8 of 10 for 93 yards in this, though. So you're starting to get at least a sample size of what the young quarterback situation is. I'll give Sam Hartman credit, though. He's also 7 of 8. Took an 11-yard sack. He's only got 37 total yards passing, but, you know, it's we've seen enough of Sam Hartman, right? Like, we really have. Somehow we found a way to get into it's a loose show today. I'm going to be honest with you. We're very loose today. We got into collectibles last segment with Metal Chris, who is a art collector, which I didn't realize that about you as much.
Well, comic art. Let's not sound like I'm all hoity-toity.
You can be if you want. You can be very pinky raised if you'd like to. But you did have that Nolan Ryan card where he's throwing a football.
Yeah.
Matt in Centerville actually has info on that. Matt, you got more on this Nolan Ryan football card? Because we could not find the backstory to that at all.
I do. I have it, and I love it. It's actually from the 1989 Upper Deck set, but it's from the High Numbers series. So he got traded that year.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to assume you're a big collectible, right?
Those are the sets.
I used to be, and I've just gotten back into it. In fact, have you guys heard of a guy named Jacob Mizorowski?
He
throws 100.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, so this year, Topps put out an alternate image of him with a football, and it's actually pretty valuable. I also have the Eric Lindros card.
Oh, so they made a new one.
And that Michael Jordan card. Yeah, it's a brand new one, 2026 Topps. But it's got Jacob Mizorowski throwing a football.
That's awesome.
Do you have any of those, Metal Chris?
No, I haven't bought baseball cards since, basically since the strike in the 90s. So.
Well, we're headed for another one.
You're right. Matt, you're not lying. That's probably happening soon. So, yeah. All right. Appreciate it, Matt. All right. So, we got a little bit more. Somebody else has it. Richmond John also tweeted me. Says you won't do a segment on 1989 Upper Deck Most Valuable Baseball Cards. I mean, we kind of already are doing that, my friend.
So, that was the extended set, the high number. So, I remember with that. I'd forgotten. That is when, halfway through the season, they would come out with, a supplemental set to the set. And, all the players that got traded, you'd have them in their new uniforms, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Or, new rookies that stood out or something,
He says he's got a Crosby PSA 10 rookie autograph. That's cool. Probably worth a lot.
Yeah. PSA 10s, I know, are worth a lot. So, the whole grading thing is, I never got into that as a kid, obviously. That wasn't really a big back
problem
then.
As a Caps fan, it's hard to have a Crosby card, but I mean, if it's worth money, it's worth money. You know,
I have one of their old late coach Bob Johnson that's signed also.
Really?
Yeah. I think Score made cards for the coaches 1 year, and I sent them to a few, and I think the Penguins had just won the cup with Martin Lemieux around then. And I sent him one, and the guy passed away a year later or something. I was like, damn, I probably got one of his last autographs on an actual collectible,
Do you play fantasy?
Thing, so I'm like, eh.
Yeah. but that's the thing, right? If it's you have a card or, I mean, look at this in fantasy, right? It's I was never somebody, I've never been somebody that is would not draft a Cowboys player in fantasy. If I think it's going to help me, I'll do it.
Yeah, right? I would never draft anyone in the NFC East that's not a Commander.
I was going to say, are you that guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really play fantasy anymore either. I got real burned out on it. I used to be in like, you know, three leagues and whatever. And then it's like every game you watch, you're like, I want everyone to lose and also everyone to score a touchdown. It's like, I don't, it's just like not fun anymore. I was like, this is like not. So I just stopped and actually really just started enjoying football again as just a fan. And it was kind of great. So
you freed your mind a little bit?
Yeah, it just got to be too much. It was like every game, I'm like, well, I want that receiver to win, but my opponent has the same receiver on the, you know, the other receiver on the team. But in my other league, I have that. I hated that. I just didn't want to do that anymore.
It's the same way with betting, too. I mean, you know, I'm a big props guy, but like you get to that point where you're kind of rooting for both things in games, or it's like you're down to specific scenarios and it's hard. And I mean, I've been there plenty of times. Okay, if this happens, this happens, and this happens, the bet hits. And if this happens and this happens, my fantasy team wins.
Yeah,
this week.
My quarterback is playing my defense, and which do you want to do well? You know, it's like I just don't want to. I just got tired of all that, and now I can just like watch any game and enjoy it. You know, it's kind of great. So
I understand that, honestly, right? I mean, you get to a point where it's like, you want to either just enjoy the game or you want to fully immerse yourself in whatever the fantasy or betting side of things or prediction market thing at this point is now, too. It's hard to balance both. It is because, yeah, you get caught up in those moments of... Now, I'm different in that sense. I don't care if it... Like, for years, I had Tony Romo as a fantasy quarterback for years when he was great in the regular season and was worth drafting in fantasy. I had... You know, Dez Bryant, and I've had CeeDee Lamb as a receiver before. Like, I don't care. I'm not one of those people that'll do it, but it does disgust me, right? Like, because then you are actively rooting for that player to do well.
I can't do that.
It's hard, and I've kind of thread the needle on it, and I've done well, but I don't like seek it out. It's one of those things where like, could I prefer...
I also don't get the players that have certain off the field issues, so. You know,
oh, you mean you won't draft them?
Yeah.
In case they're not out?
I root for people that are like wife beaters and stuff like that. Or whatever, or legend or whatever. You know, it's
right.
Like, I don't even want to worry about that where I'm like, oh, yeah, I got money on this dude that's an awful person. Like, I just don't want to do that either. So
no, I get – I mean, I understand that, right? I think everybody has different fantasy or betting rules that they have. Like, I won't bet on, like, the Commanders to win a game. And they're losing, by the way. It's 14-10 now, Lions over the Commanders. So we're wrapping up the end of the third quarter here. I won't bet. I'll bet props in Commanders games, but I won't really take sides. Like, I won't, because for me, emotion gets too involved in it. And it's just, I am either completely jaded and expect the worst, or like in 2024, I started drinking the Kool-Aid. And I mean, rightfully so. They won 12 games. So, you know, you got to a point where it was, oh my God, they could win this, and they're winning these games last second, and it's just a magical run. And I'm like, but am I actually looking at this from an unbiased perspective? So I've just ruled it out. I won't do it. If it's an individual player, and it's, you know, a player prop, that's one thing. But that's a little different because you can look at it as opposed to, like, the emotion that's connected to an entire game. And I won't do it. So everybody's got their own quirks with it. But I definitely jump into that. All right, Commanders are down 14-10 now. 9 seconds to go in the third quarter. Ethan Calicmanis has had a decent amount now of time. It's really Sam Hartman and Calicmanis together. And, you know, Hartman's trying to take a last gasp effort to make this roster. I don't know what they're going to do with this third quarterback, because if you draft somebody like AK, you assume that the hope is he's a developmental guy.
He looks like he's got an arm on him, though.
He does, and that's the thing. Like, I kind of feel like what we've seen today, because we've gotten so much of him, and we understand that this offensive line has not been, again, you're going to have some line more, you're going down deeper down the depth chart for the Lions and the Commanders, but they're getting some opportunities, both Hartman and AK. It's just a question of who looks good enough also in practice to be your third string guy, or are you willing to make Hartman your third string? I would not do that. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. We've seen it all, but I'm saying from the Commander's perspective, do they look at this and say, hey, Hartman knows the offense. He's been with the organization. That could be our third stringer, and then AK makes the practice squad, and you hope that he doesn't get, you know, picked up by another team or something along those lines. But I just don't see Sam Hartman as an NFL quarterback at all at this point. We've played this game for years. I know he's Jaden's guy, but, like, dude, he's just not. And they wouldn't have drafted another quarterback if they thought that they had another young quarterback in Sam Hartman that you could develop into a decent backup. It just doesn't make any sense to me at this point. So maybe it ends up being Ethan Calicmanis as the third stringer. He's back out there again. I mean, they got a second to go in the third quarter here. Depending on what your time is, it may already be done for you, although officially we're down to a second when we wrap this thing up. And then we'll hit the fourth quarter, and maybe Maybe the Commanders will show us a little bit more and move the ball down the field, because the touchdown they have in this game is a defensive touchdown. That's how things started off, when they forced a fumble and turned it into a touchdown on a Joshua Dobbs fumble. Then they picked him off the next play. Oh, big drop there. Was that Cager? Oh, Cager just dropped it at the end of the third quarter. It was a decent throw, but just dropped it, and there you go. So it's going to be 14-10 Commanders, or sorry, 14-10 Lions at the end of the third quarter. And we'll see what quarterback we're going with the rest of the way. Kalik Manis, Hartman, back and forth. You know, no starters. No starters for them. We know that for sure. Nick Cashew on the Fan and the Team. 14-10 at the end of the third quarter. Lions over the Commanders. Ethan Kalik Manis, 10 of 13, 155 yards. He may be making this roster as the third-string quarterback. I mean, at this point, you drafted AK, and you've had Sam Hartman on the roster for a while. I think at this point, we kind of know who this is. We know that Sam Hartman's not an NFL quarterback. He's been all right today, 7 of 8, but 37 yards, averaging less than 5 yards of completion. I mean, I know there hasn't been great protection with the offensive line, but AK's found a way to do it. So this might be the end of Sam Hartman with this team. Maybe go start an OnlyFans. Might work. Do some commercials with that great hair. Go play in the UFL. I don't know. Something. It just, at some point, you have to acknowledge that you've kind of, it's run its course, and he's just hasn't developed into a quarterback that, you know, could be a third string quarterback for you. Commander's defense has been aggressive, though, throughout this. I mean, that's what you feel confident in the most, is they're getting after the quarterbacks, the various quarterbacks that are there. They're making plays. They're generating turnovers. They're getting sacks. And they've given up some big plays. Sure, Josh Dobbs had a long touchdown run, but it was a great play fake. I mean, it was a great play call by the offense. I mean, it was just, it looked like they were going to run the ball, and they got faked out of their shoes. It happens. But here we are now with the Commanders, and we're just trying to see what this offense is going to look like really the rest of the way. And, you know, look, you still have opportunities for some guys to make a name for themselves. Some are going to have that third preseason game, because Robert Henry Jr. was the hero in game one, right? One of the stars. He's got 4 carries for negative 3 yards. So he has not been effective in this. Katron Allen only 10 for 30. So they haven't been running the ball well. Again, the offensive line hasn't gotten him any push, so that doesn't really help. 14-13 Commanders now, 12:02 to go in the fourth quarter. Nick Nash, 2 catches for 62 yards. I mean, the running back battle and the wide receiver battle, even with limits on the offensive line, and you're not having first, you know, starters really out there with Jaden Daniels in the offense going 3 and out, and that's it. You've got some wide receivers that are really making a name for themselves and trying to make an opportunity for themselves in this game. Nick Nash has a 55-yard reception. 2 catches for 62 yards. Jaden Bradley, 2 for 42, including a 30-yarder. Beautiful one-handed catch earlier in the game. I love Jaden Bradley. Jaden Bradley was one of my picks before the preseason started as a preseason hero, and we're seeing that here in Game 2 after Robert Henry Jr. was the guy in Game 1. But you've got some talent at wide receiver, and if you're the Commanders, it's going to be a tough decision to make. I think you're probably more likely to go 7, and I would go 7 with the talent they have, but the question then becomes, you know, what does that look like? What does that depth look like? We know basically the 5 that are going to make the roster, right? Especially when you've got somebody like a Luke McCaffrey and a Jalen Lane that are great on special teams. They're valuable there. You've basically got 5. So those last, let's say, 2 spots at wide receiver, that's where the battles really are. Nick Nash has given himself an opportunity today, and Jaden Bradley as well, to where, you know, for somebody like Jaden Bradley, I mean, he's big. Jaden Bradley's like 6'3", 6'4", 200 pounds, and they need that size at wide receiver. It was one of the reasons why we thought, right, Treylon Burks was going to be, you know, get an opportunity if he can just stay healthy and everything can be, well, we haven't really seen anything from Treylon Burks. I don't think he makes the roster. And you get, I at this point, Treylon Burks is who he is. He's always hurt. It sucks, but like that's just the reality of where this is. And had a great catch last year, but that was, it's pretty much it, right? Like that was pretty much it. So I think at this point, there has to just be the understanding that he's not going to be a wide receiver on this roster. I would much rather go with Jaden Bradley, who also provides that size and great hands. We saw it earlier. So if it came down to we need a big receiver on this roster, I'd much rather go Jaden Bradley than Treylon Burks. I mean, we haven't seen anything from him at this point. And there's a lot in practice, too. And I know they've been trying to give opportunities to Jaden Bradley. You got to have a couple of big receivers out there. I mean, you just do. It's again, Chigakonkwo is going to be great in the red zone. He's going to be a guy and go up and make plays for you too. But you got to have some guys at wide receiver that can do that. So I think we're seeing that now from some of these guys on the back end of the depth chart. And you're going to get one more opportunity. I mean, listen, Nick Nash isn't small either. He's about 6'3", 200 pounds. So you got two of those guys that are likely going to be battling out potentially for that, you know, big receiver spot, we'll call it. But it's been much more about the receivers even here, even though they nothing with the starters, didn't move the ball at all. Again, it almost just feels like it was pointless. Metal Chris, you brought this up earlier with Jaden Daniels. It was just like they were checking a box. Like, yeah, we get to say that you actually were required to play in the preseason game, so we put you out there, but you did nothing. And I think that was a good point. It felt that way, dude. It was just like, why are we even doing this? And maybe it was the sack that scared him and the offensive line and the lack of protection. It was just like, let's keep our quarterback safe, which I'm happy for. But it just felt like one of these, like, let's check the box, let's get him out there. But it provided absolutely nothing, and there was no actual point. It didn't make the offense better at all.
I would have liked to at least see them at least, like, get into some kind of rhythm, and then
something.
They just didn't even give him the chance to. You know, it's, I don't know, man.
And well, I mean, listen, if you're going to have issues with the offensive line now,
they're probably not going to play him in the third game, you figure.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So now we got to hope that he can just start getting in rhythm in an actual game against the freaking Eagles in Philly. Like, and that's what we're going to try to see if they can get in rhythm. Like, I just, come on, man.
Our lasting image of Jaden Daniels and the starters that were out there for this offense was incomplete pass with heavy pressure, swarm sack, and 3rd and 20 run. That's it.
A handoff. Right?
Yeah.
You got to make sure you say that about him.
You're right.
Only thing he ran.
You're right. Handoff. You're right. Very good. They ran the football. It was not Jaden Daniels running the football. Very good point. So, which that would have been a big problem. And yeah, maybe there's something to be said for the coaching staff looked around and said, we're not going to risk it with him out there. So again, if they're playing it cautious, that's fine, but I just wouldn't have even put him out there at all. I mean, at all. That was my whole point going into this. It's like, people are like, well, it's football and he's got to play, but you knew you weren't going to see a lot of him. You're not going to get a lot of the playbook. You're not going to get any real opportunity. You're going to get such a small sample size that it doesn't make a difference. Preseason is just watered down. It's become so watered down that there is no value to it anymore.
You like it more than the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I'd take it over. Well, it's a Pro Bowl game. You mean the actual Pro Bowl, like when they played a football game?
Yeah.
Or just what they do now?
No, like the actual, like, all-star game, effectively.
I mean, at least you get to see a bunch of stars out there. You get real football, and you get guys trying to make a team, so I would rather watch, like, a meaningful preseason game.
Yeah.
Versus the Pro Bowl, which was flag football.
Yeah.
I mean, now it doesn't even count.
Well, Taylor nailed that, was it the kicker,
well,
that
yeah.
one?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That one Pro Bowl.
Man, that was, there's true. That was very memorable, to say the least.
Yeah.
There's no question there. But, yeah, I mean, this still has meaning, because you do have guys that are trying to make a roster. So it's just a matter of, you know, the overall big picture. Like, yeah, there might be one or two guys. Like I said, I'm looking at Nick Nash and Jaden Bradley making big plays today. They are trying to make this active roster as a wide receiver, as the last probably wide receiver on there. Or they may end up deciding it's either De'Ami Brown or Van Jefferson. Maybe they cut Van Jefferson and keep Jaden Bradley. I mean, I'd be okay with this team trying to bring on some other younger wide receivers, but I wouldn't go with too many, because, you know, you don't want to have Nick Nash and Jaden Bradley, and then you're like, oh, we could use a little more experience at wide receiver. Van Jefferson would have been great. But those guys, Nick Nash and Jaden Bradley, are both big. And having that big body at wide receiver, maybe one can make the active roster and one ends up on the practice squad. I mean, that's the thing. The NFL, it's tough. It's tough to work on, like, developing young players when you don't have a real minor league. You've got the practice squad, and that's really it. And that's a tough thing for the NFL, and I get the logistics of it. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to get to a point where you're balancing out player safety, and I'll put it in quotes, player safety. And, like, how are you going to play a minor league schedule and then still get called up to the NFL? Like, it works in baseball, it works in the NBA and the G League. Football is just a different animal where you can't really have guys doing both. So, I honestly don't know if there is ever going to be a solution where that works. But the NFL could use more of an opportunity to develop young players that still stay within your program.
You know
system.
What they could do?
What's that?
This is why they got to have me be the idea guy over there.
I love it when you're the idea guy. What do you got?
They could have a minor league in Europe.
Yeah, NFL Europe.
Yeah.
I've said that before.
And
just
use that as a direct minor league then.
The only issue with that, though, and I guess no matter what, it's going to be the case, but like you're if you're sending over and it's looked at as a minor league system, are people going to be as interested in going to games knowing that it's not the highest level of American football, people that are into it, versus the money that you'll make and the success that you'll have sending NFL teams over to Europe to play actual regular season games? Now, again, you can do both. And they probably would do both. They wouldn't take it away. But, they, you know, NFL Europe has a better chance of working again now than it did back in the day.
When you have, like, say, the Commanders going to London or something, right? And the guy that used to play on the London, you know,
the London Fish and Chips. I called him the London Fish and Chips.
Or something, right? Yeah, but, like, but now he's on the command. He was, you know, so the London people have seen this kid in the minors. Now he's on the Commanders or whoever, you know, whatever team's playing in London. We'll just use the Commanders again for the example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, everybody would be, like, super excited to see the guy, like, come back and, like.
I think you can kill two birds with one stone with that in some ways and say, hey, you're gonna expand the game to Europe. You're going to give more of an opportunity for a real league to be there, and you have a development league that's there. Yeah, I've always said that they should bring back NFL Europe, and it makes more sense than trying to put a team in London. I think that's a terrible idea. But when you're giving an opportunity for more talent to develop in the NFL, it's better for the league, especially a quarterback. You're such a quarterback-driven league. And we saw the free agent market this offseason, right? Unless you wanted retreads like Kyler or Tua, there wasn't much else out there. There wasn't much in the draft. This was just not a year if you needed a quarterback to find a quarterback. It's why the Cardinals have Jacoby Brissett, and they're just like, well, we'll run the ball a lot and give it to Jeremiah Love. Fine. But if you
think the Cardinals are tanking by any chance, would you say that?
Oh, yeah, of course they are. They're terrible. And it's a terrible roster on purpose. Like, let's be real. Tanking's a little different in the NFL than it is the NBA, but, like, people always say that. The guys don't tank in the NFL. They don't. Well, teams have the ability to control where they're going to draft. There's no lottery system here.
Again, I mean, I don't think don't there's tank. A question. That their quarterback room is probably the lowest ranked in the league. And
oh, it's terrible. It's
yeah,
terrible.
Like,
I would rather have the Browns quarterback situation, and that's saying something because it ain't good,
yeah.
You know? But it's so bad in Arizona with, you know, it's either Brissett or Beck. Okay, good luck. I mean, that's really what you're looking at here. So it's not a good situation, and you know that they're in that spot where they're not going to be able to win games. But, and again, it's not like saying, okay, if you had a real minor league system, we'd have all these quarterbacks that develop in a couple of years and all become stars. I'm not saying that, but to have more opportunities and more options with better quarterback play at the NFL level, because some of them maybe spent 2 years playing for the London Fish and Chips in NFL Europe. And
you love that name, the Fish and Chips.
I do. It's just what I came up with the other day. People thought it was funny, so now I'm just going to go with it. Why not? I'll write it out. So I'll just go. It popped in my head, and this is how it works. But, you know, you can have the
Dusseldorf Bratwurst or something?
The Dusseldorf Bratwurst and then the London Fish and Chips.
It must all be named after regional foods.
I think that's exactly what it should be. You know what? They should go with the theme that minor league baseball does. I want weird-ass names. That's how you do it. In NFL Europe, it has to be all weird names. You can have the Scotland Haggis. That would be out there. I mean, it's perfect. You got a lot of opportunities for some really creative names. I think that's how you do this. But yeah, developing young players would benefit the NFL because you just would have a deeper talent pool. And you'd give an opportunity if you're the Commanders to get, you know, Nick Nash, not just on a practice squad, but playing real football in, let's say, NFL Europe, and you send him over there and you have injuries, and then all of a sudden he gets called up to the NFL week 5, week 6, and Jaden Bradley or Nick Nash, who've had great games, they combined for over 100 yards receiving so far today. Get an opportunity to give them a shot. So, all right, Commanders offense now here. It's going to be, oh, good, Sam Hartman's back out there, so nothing's going to happen. And the Lions swarm into the backfield, and we got flags everywhere. So we'll see what happened with that next. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. 14-13. Lions over the Commanders, 6:43 to go in the fourth quarter. Ethan Calligmanis, 11 of 14, 162 yards. Commanders offense not actually getting in the end zone. Two field goals, the one touchdown they have. Is the defense turning over Josh Dobbs and getting that thing in the end zone. So it's really actually been AK. And Hartman's been all right, 9 of 11, 67 yards. He's had a decent start to this drive. But again, he was averaging less than 5 yards of completion before this drive. So we've seen a lot of Nick Nash, who's got 2 catches for 62 yards, a 55-yard reception. Jaden Bradley, 2 catches for 42, has a 30-yard reception. Beautiful one-handed catch. back end of the receivers, they're fighting for a spot there. And you need at least one other big receiver really on this roster. And I think there's an opportunity there with a Nick Nash or Jaden Bradley if they can continue to not just show up in the preseason, but show up, you know, in practice when they're using more of the playbook and doing what they can to kind of simulate certain situations to see what those guys can do. One of them may make the active roster, and this could be a seven receiver group. Again, the position battles in some other areas are going to be a difference maker too. Not a lot on the run game today. 10 carries for 30 yards from Catron Allen, and after that, I mean, nothing. Sam Hartman has a 6-yard run. That's it. Craig Reynolds, 2 for 2 yards, and Robert Henry Jr., who was the hero in the first game, 4 carries for -3 yards. So it has not been much of Robert Henry Jr. this time around. As we're wrapping up the fourth quarter here in a bit, 6:43 to go. Let's see now. You got Cali Manis on the sidelines, Hartman there. So yeah, I think at this point Sam Hartman might not be making the team. The hair looks good though. Even when the helmet comes off, he's got a big flowing head of hair, and that's, you know, he can always do shampoo commercials. It's always that option. But, you know, looking at the minor league idea we were talking about before, and yeah, it's the NFL needs something in terms of other ways to develop young talent. I love the idea of NFL Europe, like Metal Chris and I were talking about, and turning it into a development league on top of that. The NFL wants to do so much more. Oh, big sack again for the Commanders. Let's go. They're aggressive. They're getting after the quarterback. The defense has been great. I mean, yeah, there have been some moments where they've screwed up, sure. Josh Dobbs had a long touchdown off a great play fake. I mean, he just faked him out of their shoes. It is what it is, but they are aggressive. They're getting after whatever quarterback's under center for the Lions, and they're generating turnovers. They're getting sacks now. I mean, they've got 5 sacks for 50 total yards. Luke Altmyer's been sacked now 4 times, and he's lost 35 yards on those sacks. So they are making his life hell. And, oh, I thought they almost got an interception there, but yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see a situation where the Commanders could put a couple of guys that maybe you like, that you just don't have room for, but you think could be great players down the road, or good players, having some sort of development league that's beyond, oh, we got a practice squad. Like, that's the one thing the NFL really does lack. But we know that Roger Goodell wants to actually have a team play in overseas, and I hate that. Like, I hate that idea. And it feels like London is something they're still going to try and push. Like, we know
the travel for that is going to be so miserable.
See, thank you. That is my biggest thing, is that, like, the idea that you're going to have a team that's a 6-hour flight just from the East Coast. Think of the logistics of this. All of the stuff you have to bring as a team. Are you going to come stateside and stay for what, a month? Do you have like a central hub somewhere in the middle of the country where you fly into Wyoming and you practice, and then you go out to the West Coast 1 week, and then you're going out to the East Coast the next week, and after a month, then you go back to foggy London town and you're going to play a month there? I mean, the travel is brutal. It's already
brutal.
Imagine
the playoffs too, where you'd be like, 1 week we're going to play in, you know, London, and then the next week we're going to play in LA, or, you know, it's like, just depending on who wins games. And the jet lag and things that those players would be dealing with on that kind of a schedule.
It's a massively stupid idea. Now, if they try to put it in Canada, like a Toronto NFL team.
Yeah, Toronto can deal with that. Like,
you
whatever.
Can do that. The
you
only
put one in Mexico City even. I don't care. But
yeah. But some player, here's the thing. Free agency, though, is going to be tough. There'll be players that don't want to go out of the country and sign with a team. They're not going to want to do that. And that's going to hurt those teams in terms of how they build on top of that. Toronto's a great city, but there are players that won't want to go to Canada. There are players that won't want to go live in Mexico.
Like, I mean, it's just, I hear you, but, you know, we've had Canadian teams win the World Series and the NBA championship since the last time, you know, any Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup. And there are far more, you know, hockey teams.
I mean, that's true, but you've also had the Vancouver Grizzlies move to Memphis because they weren't getting any traction in Vancouver.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
And so it depends. The one thing that would probably hurt the NFL up in Canada, if you put an NFL team there, is they love their Canadian football, man. The CFL is a big deal up there. It doesn't mean that people wouldn't also be fans of, but like, people wouldn't also necessarily be fans of an NFL team that's there. But the question is, are you going to put it in a market where you have a CFL team? Is the NFL going to have that type of arrogance? Because you got the Toronto Argonauts already up there. So what do you do then? If you're looking to find a big market where there's going to be interest, you can't go to a market and have a Canadian NFL team if they've got a CFL team already there. I just don't think that would work.
Imagine they put one way up north in, like, you know, Ontario or something.
Ontario.
That'd be awesome. Or Calgary. You get the Calgary snow games, man. Oh, dude.
I mean, Canada is so damn cold.
I know.
That time of year, man. So the largest cities in Canada are Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, Ottawa, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and then you start going down the list there. I don't know where I'm going to look up CFL teams. I'm literally just going to do this live. All right, so you got a team in Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Regina, Hamilton, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto. So really all the big cities are mostly taken by CFL teams already. You don't have Quebec City, so maybe they do a team in Quebec City, right? I mean, there's nothing in Quebec for the CFL. I mean, that's what you'd have to think about if you're the NFL. I mean, honestly, if the NFL tried to put a team in a smaller market that was in, like, SEC football country, it wouldn't get traction. They love their college football down there. So you have to be really smart with where you would do this. Like, I know the NFL wants to expand, and it is smart to do what they're doing in terms of the international games, expanding not just the league, but the actual game of American football around the world. It works. It's like movies being released worldwide are going to just make more money. You're expanding to a bigger audience, a bigger fan base. It's smart business. Players hate it. Coaches hate the travel. I mean, you see some of these teams in the travel miles that they have to fly this year on the schedule, and it's insane. And you have one team going 60,000 air miles, and another like the Panthers, I think, are the lowest at like 8,000. I think the 49ers are the most. Or close to it, because they're going to Australia. Players don't like it, but the league doesn't care. That's why you're going to have an 18th game on top of that. Was it you that I've talked to about this, Metal Chris, where it was having a whole week of international, or a whole day or a week of international games?
Yeah, that's one of my fun ideas, where you have 24 hours of games and have them all in different time zones. So, like, you know, they'll kick off an hour or two apart from each other, but it's like around the whole globe, you know?
I love that idea.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I do. So if you could do that, I mean, 24 hours, a game in Fiji, a game in Japan, a game in, you know, why not? Let's just do it everywhere. Everywhere. But
yeah, it'd be awesome, dude. Like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of cool things. You could put them in markets that you wouldn't normally get them and stuff. I don't know. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it'll help the league.
A game in, like, Mumbai, you know? Like,
yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Man, that's some serious travel, though, if you're doing all that. The planning for that. But it's different if it's one game versus a ton. So, all right, 2.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Commanders down to the Lions, 14-13. Got a 4th-and-3 coming up. Nick Ashew on the Fan of the Team. All right, 17-13. Just over 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter here. The second preseason game for the Commanders, where Jaden Daniels threw one pass that was horribly incomplete because the offensive line didn't protect him. Then he was sacked, lost 10 yards, and then they handed the ball off on 3rd-and-20. And that's all we saw. Ethan Kalik-Manis looks good. 11 of 14, 162 yards. Got some Nick Nash and Jaden Bradley receptions that are big. Not a lot. Not a lot from this offense. The defense looks aggressive, though. I know there's a lot with the lack of starters out there for even Detroit, but they're showing what their philosophy is under Durante Jones. And it's get after guys, fast, quick, aggressive, downhill. They've already generated a couple of turnovers, an interception, a fumble that led to a touchdown on the opening drive by the Lions. So the Commanders' defense is at least making that stuff work. Sean's in Winchester. I hear you're mad at Dan Quinn. What's up, Sean? You're on the Fan.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call, guys. No, it's not so much, but at some point, you know, it's the third season of Dan Quinn, and we've all gone to the he's a leader of men and things like that. I know it's only preseason, and I'm trying to put that all on, you know, on another shelf. But you shouldn't, if you're going to put him out there, why put him out there for one drive and then stink it up and not go, hey, let's go out there and see if we can rectify it. You know, if he's a leader of men and things like that. I mean, at some point, he's going to have to start taking some blame for what's going on. You can't get rid of both coordinators, get two new ones, and then go, well, we're getting the same stuff. With, you know, two different guys. Yeah, at some point he's going to have to do something. You know, what does he actually do? I mean,
Sean, my theory is, and I'm with you, Sean, like the fact that it was a worthless drive, there was no point. Like, they didn't accomplish anything offensively with Jaden Daniels out there. My theory, though, is that maybe they saw the lack of protection and said, we got to get him out of there. Maybe they thought, let's see how the first drive goes and see if there's another. That's my only theory, is that they thought Daniels isn't getting protected.
They had to have known that from the beginning, from the get-go, you know what I mean, that the offensive line was in shambles. So why, like you said, why put him out there in the first place?
That's where I was all week, my friend. Thank you, Sean. Good stuff, and I agree.
And that comes down to the head coach.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. Sean brings up exactly the point I had from the beginning. Why are you even putting Jaden Daniels out there? It's just, again, I know preseason's watered down and it feels worthless in a lot of ways, but you know, either get some sort of benefit out of it or you don't. Like, that's not going to change anything for the Commanders in terms of, you know, what they look like week one against the Eagles. That did nothing. But again, the stuff that you're doing in practice and OTAs and everything else, like, that's where you get the full benefit. That's where you're going to get prepared for week one against an Eagles defense that's really good. And the Cowboys week two, I don't know, right? Like, they worked on their defense this offseason. But is it a defense that you fear the second week of the regular season? We don't know. And that's the thing. Early in the year, you don't have an idea until you actually see it. But the preparation for an offense with a new coordinator and new pieces, it's not based on what you do in the second preseason game. It's based on all the other stuff in practice and, you know, all the offseason workouts and OTAs and everything else. All of that is where you actually get the real idea of what your offense can be. And we got to be honest with ourselves here. No matter what, this Commanders offense will likely have some bumps in the road early. It's just, it's how a lot of teams do it. They're showing highlights right now of just all of the, just the swarming defense the Commanders have had, and especially that, the fumble to lead to that touchdown there. This may be a defense that is just put in a position where they're going to have to carry the Commanders a little bit. Like, they're going to have to make plays. They're going to have to create takeaways. They're going to have to, you know, maybe generate some points like that. It may be the case, because it's not about Jaden Daniels, but as great as Jaden Daniels can be, we've seen it. We saw it his rookie year. If he's got no time to throw the football, it's always going to disrupt anything you're doing with this offense. It's just that simple. It's why you want to have a defense that's as aggressive as Commander's defense has been today, as they get another stop behind the line of scrimmage here. Got about a minute 52 to go in the fourth quarter. But if you're disrupting the timing of any offense, it's great if your defense does it, but it's bad if your offensive line is allowing that to happen to your offense. It sets everybody back. It makes it so you have to alter your game plan. It's why I always say the three most important positions in football: quarterback, number one; left tackle, protecting the blind side, number two. Unless your quarterback's left-handed, then it's the right side. You get the idea. Protecting the blind side, that's second most important position. And the third is anybody whose job is to get after the other team's quarterback. Everything centers around the quarterback. It's either protecting yours or disrupting the other one. Plain and simple. That's where it all starts, because everything else after that has a trickle-down effect. You disrupt an offense, you're going to be able to continue to be more aggressive. It's going to hurt that team, and you have the ability then to take a lead and eat some clock and know that the defense is going to get stops. And if you have an offense where your quarterback is getting protection and you're moving the ball, you get up early, you can maybe eat some clock yourself, run the football, let the defense make some plays, and you don't have to feel rushed. You don't have to alter your game plan. You can make it about what you've actually set out to do. And no, it doesn't happen over a 17-game schedule. Of course not. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs, even with the best teams. But the one thing that we saw last year was this defense set them behind quite a bit. And they had to play from behind most of the season. And you didn't have the firepower to be able to do it. And if Jaden Daniels is out there, they'll have the ability to do it. But this defense does look at least better at this point. So they're going to be kneeling the ball. Clock's winding down to the final minute, 17-13, Lions over the Commanders as we hit the final minute. This preseason game is going to wrap up. We'll look at who looked good and who did not. Next, Nick Ashew on The Fan and the Team. 17-13, Lions over the Commanders. One drive from Jaden Daniels and the starters, which led to a three and out, an incomplete pass, a sack, and then a handoff on 3rd and 20. As Metal Chris has told me to say handoff, not run, because people think Jaden Daniels ran the football and you'll scare them, and I don't want to do that. The sack was bad enough. So Jaden Daniels goes 0 for 1 with a 10-yard sack, and that's it. Ethan Calick-Manis, though, basically got starter snaps, essentially. 11 of 14, 162 yards. Sam Hartman threw it for 9 of 11, 67 yards. No touchdowns from anybody. The only touchdown the Commanders had in this game against the Lions was the fumble on the opening drive that they caused that led to that Joshua Dobbs fumble, bounced around, then just scatters into the end zone and they get it. They picked him off as well. Quan Martin had the interception. But you didn't really have a lot from this Commanders offense. Again, AK looked good. He looked accurate, throwing the ball well. They just couldn't move the ball downfield and get in the end zone. The protection was just horrible. It was just horrible from the offensive line today. And that's going to be something that might be a real problem for this team. I mean, again, we have questions on the left side. We have questions at center. And injuries are injuries, but this is something this team might have to deal with. Nick Nash looked good, though. Two big receivers, 6'3 and 6'4, give or take, right? Both of them getting opportunities here for a team that could use a big guy at receiver. Nick Nash, two catches, 62 yards, had a 55-yard reception. Jaden Bradley, who's a guy that I love. I hope he makes this roster. Two catches for 42, had a 30-yard reception. Again, nobody got in the end zone. Antonio Williams had three catches for 41 yards. Kobe Jones caught three for 37. Not much from Van Jefferson and some of the other guys. He had two for 17. Chigakonkwo had a 10-yard catch, but he's not going to get a lot of opportunity there either. Deami Brown only one for three. I mean, the back end of this wide receiver group for the Commanders is, I mean, it's a legit battle. It's the question, of course, of how many they're going to keep. There's, a lot of other position battles that you're going to have to fight and go through as well. Running back was not good in this game at all, just in general from the guys that were out there. Catron Allen at 10 for 30. Robert Henry Jr., who was the guy, the preseason hero in the first one against the Dolphins, four carries for negative 3 yards. So that's not ideal at all. And the big thing here for me was that you just got nothing from Jaden Daniels and the defense gave you a lot. And why even start Jaden Daniels? I mean, it really what comes down to it. If you're going to do it, then look, I didn't want to see him out there at all. I really didn't. He got sacked. My theory is, and we'll find out when Dan Quinn talks after the game, was you look around and see the swarm of Lions defenders coming after your franchise quarterback in a preseason game, and you say to yourself, ah, he ain't going back out there again. We got to fix some things. And that's fine. But this is the whole thing about preseason is you have there are purposes to it, right? There are guys trying to make the roster. There's opportunities there. There's little tweaks that you want to make against a different team, an offense, a defense that you haven't seen. But the realistic thing here with the preseason is that you don't have a lot of players or coaches or organizations to take it seriously anymore. They just don't. It used to be used as a real tune-up for the regular season, and I get that. Again, I've talked about it all this week, right? Like, the video that made its rounds around social media of Tom Brady throwing a touchdown pass to Randy Moss with the Patriots with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter of a preseason game. That happened. And Tom Brady was, you know, again, it's the old-school football mentality. If there's football to be played, I will play football. But you now have a 17-game schedule. And it's going to be 18 at some point. It's going to water down the preseason more. So you've got to really figure out.
Have you seen all these things about the stats about early injuries, like early in the season when players don't play in the preseason?
Yes, but do you have it in front of you?
No, but okay. I saw they're basically saying there's a correlation between like when you don't play in the preseason and then you just get thrown into the deep end, like you are more likely in the first few weeks of the season to get an injury. I don't think it correlates to later in the season.
So this theory has been thrown around a lot. I've had conversations with former players about this exact thing because I do think it's interesting. But the reality is there's no, like, if we could prove it, if somebody can really do studies and prove that it's better off for guys to take more hits and get a little beat up in camp and get their bodies ready, and that actually would make them less susceptible to all kinds of injuries, then yeah, I think you go that route. And there's something to be said for it. Your body adapts and it's not used to getting hit and it's pad on pad and you're getting popped, and then you don't have it after the season's done and you're working out in shorts and a t-shirt in the offseason. It's fun flipping tires for Instagram and TikTok, but you know, there's only so much that you can do with that to get you prepared. And then you have limited amount of pads, you know, padded practices. You don't have two-a-days like we used to, which was kind of overdoing it, if we're being honest. But, you know, back when I played in high school, I did two-a-days, damn it, so they should be doing it now. But there's just not enough proof to decide whether that's actually the case or not, because there's the argument to be made that in the NBA, guys sitting and not playing in back-to-backs and the way they rest players in the NBA isn't actually helping them. So it's like there's really...
Very different, though. Like, NBA is not nearly as physical.
Yes.
So.
Yes. But it's also about the being able to keep up with the wear and tear versus your body not adapting to it enough so you're more susceptible to injuries. Like, I understand where both sides are coming from. I understand a lot of sports nutrition. I'm into it. It's a hobby for me. But, like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm a licensed trainer or nutritionist or anything like that. It's an amateur interest for me in my life. I just want to take care of myself. It's what I do. But, like, there is something to be said, sure, for your body adapting to a point where you're getting hit a little bit more in practice and you're spending a little bit more time in the preseason. So like week 8 or week 9, your body is actually healed and adapted versus it's getting worn down. Because that's the theory, right? A lot of it is like guys don't play in the preseason because you want them to be fresh and ready for the regular season. Or guys play less in the regular season in the NBA because, you know, they want to make sure they're ready for the playoffs, whatever the case is. But it's the battle between player recovery, legit recovery that sports science has backed, or actually kind of beating your body up a little bit more and just getting used to it. So the big thing coming away from this, though, is that offensive line. I'm seeing a lot of that on social right now already. And, I mean, it's true. It's you got to figure out what's going on right now. It's Nick Allegretti's calf issue has continued to be a problem. And Julian Good-Jones is your backup. He had, what, 2 snaps in this? I mean, Matt Golbin, you know, as your backup center. They put themselves in this position with this offensive line partially. Not totally, because they can't control what happened to Laremy Tunsil. But you kind of felt like at the end of last season for the Commanders that they started to get the offensive line relatively settled. We knew there was going to be a kind of a position battle at left guard. That's been figured out. But now left tackle, the most important position after quarterback, it's Brandon Coleman. And he needs to be consistent, and he's shown that he can hold down the fort there. We saw it against Miami. It was, you know, it's tough when you have a small sample size there, but he's been training with Laremy Tunsil. He's been learning the position more. He's been trying to get better at that. And, you know, you got to protect your quarterback. But in reality here, if they can't protect their quarterback, it doesn't matter how great and dynamic and talented this offense is, because there's only so much that can be done from Jaden Daniels if he's running for his life constantly. It doesn't matter. Yeah, he can scurry off all he wants and go get you a 10-yard gain, but that one leads him to be more susceptible to getting popped when he's out there in the open. He's not protected like he is in the pocket. And then two, it's just disrupting your offense. And you go out and get a Stephon Diggs and you add some of these other pieces. They got to give Jaden Daniels time. Like, yes, you have the option and he has the ability to scamper out when he needs to, but you don't want that to be the case every single time. And look, I'd argue they got some receivers that on the back end of this, the depth that could be a part of this offense gives them a real chance to be a dynamic offense. I mean, it really does. But what do I always call it? The assembly line of success. And if there's a break in that assembly line on offense, your offense is always going to have a lower ceiling. And today, against the Lions, the break was at the offensive line. Play calling starts it off. Then it's an offensive line that protects the quarterback. Then the quarterback's got to accurately get the ball to the wide receiver, and the receiver's got to make the play. All those things have to happen for a strong pass game. I know I'm simplifying it a little bit, but like that's the core foundation of it, right? And yes, you could scream about establishing the run and all that, but they didn't do that today either. Again, Katron Allen, their leading rusher, 10 carries for 30 yards. Now, Katron Allen's also not looked at as like somebody that's going to be this dynamic back that's going to get you 30 carries. Of course, he's a 6th-round pick. He's a short yardage guy, so I understand that. But I'm really disappointed there wasn't anything from Robert Henry Jr. today. Again, offensive line was bad. It makes it hard to run the football, too. It's not passing, but the offensive line isn't glamorous, and it's not flashy. But the best teams in the NFL build from the inside out. And that's offensive line and defensive line. Now, there's a lot of excitement, I think, about the improved defensive line and just improved defense as a whole for this team. But you got to really build a team from the inside out. And they did not. They did not show that today with this offensive line. And it's concerning. Like, that's something to seriously be worried about, is this offensive line. And you know, if you have any other injuries and it happens on that line, what does that look like? And right now, it was rough. I mean, you got nothing, so there's no benefit to Jaden Daniels' start or any of those starters that were actually out there, because Stephon Diggs was out there, in theory, we think, right? He never got any targets because he wasn't really there. It was a lot of cardio for him and Terry McLaurin, which is fine. They don't need this, so I'm not expecting any of that.
I still wanted to see at least one of them make a catch.
Something. And listen, some of this, too, is just a mental side of things. For Jaden Daniels' lasting impression and lasting thought of real live NFL action against another team is 0-for-1 with a 10-yard sack and a quarterback rating of 39.6. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. That's the lasting impression. Again, I don't think he's going to sit there and go, oh, my God, we're in trouble. Like, that's not how this offense is going to operate, but you still do have that, where now you have to get to that week one against the Eagles, because you're not going to play in the third preseason game. We know that. It's going to be probably AK and Sam Hartman at quarterback, alternating time. It's going to be a lot of the guys we saw today, if we're being honest. More Catron Allen, I bet. Some Craig Reynolds, if he's still on the roster, unless they cut him. Another chance for Robert Henry Jr. Some of these younger receivers. Nick Nash, who played well today, 62 yards receiving. Jaden Bradley, 42 yards, had a 30-yard reception. Beautiful one-handed catch. I mean, I love Jaden Bradley. I think this is somebody that has a chance to legitimately make this roster. But you still have to... You have a few position battles that are going to need to be established. And it might come down to, hey, we can't keep Nick Nash and Jaden Bradley because we've got to add an extra linebacker or an extra offensive lineman or whatever, right? So sometimes the guys that get cut, it isn't because they didn't earn a roster spot. It's because there was more of a priority at another position, and you have that trickle-down effect where then wide receivers just part of the problem. And it's like, well, we can't keep everybody here, and we got to figure this out. So, yeah, and still one more preseason game for some of those battles, but majority of the roster's figured out. I mean, that's mostly how it goes. Teams have a few spots that they have up in the air. Some are more glaring position battles than others, but you know, it doesn't matter if they win or lose a preseason game. Nobody cares. Like, the teams go winless in the preseason all the time and have successful regular seasons. It's just being prepared. It's being prepared for week one against the Eagles and what that looks like and how good that Eagles defense is, and are they... Because it's not like they're not at least paying attention to that small sample size of the starters that were out there for the Commanders today. You at least peek at that film. It's not like they're not looking and going, okay, what did Detroit do? Where's the vulnerability on this offensive line, and how do we target that? Probably the left side to start. That's really where it's going to be. And then it's center on top of that. It would be really good if they could get Nick Allegretti back out, because he's not even practicing, and he's not in this game, and he hasn't played center full-time. That's part of this. Too many people are just brushing this off like it's no big deal. Like, this is a thing. And I said it all week leading up to this game. I said, this offensive line is a question mark, and it is something that should be very concerning for everybody involved. And I think after this game, you look at this and say, yeah, we got a problem. And listen, guys get cut all the time around the league that add depth to a team that, like, there may be another team that has more depth at center or at left tackle or whatever the case is, and they cut a guy that's going to be at least a rotational guy that you could bring in here and add to the offensive line. It's not like the roster you see now is about, hey, who makes it and who doesn't, and that's our roster. It's not the case at all. You have to constantly be looking at free agents and who gets cut, especially once final roster cutdowns are there, because it happens all the time, and then you start building out even more positions. But the offensive line is the biggest glaring need for this team right now, biggest issue. And, yeah, it's tough, man. Laremy Tunsil getting hurt is a big blow to this team. But they're going to have to move on, because Brandon Coleman's got to be out there. It's center that's the other thing, where it's, you could have prevented this. You could have prevented this. And I understand that it's injury with Nick Allegretti, but there's a twofold to this, because you also have to deal with the fact that he's not getting the reps in a new offense at a relatively new position with a quarterback that he hasn't worked a ton with, who's going to be under center more. And that's where the setback really is. It's not just the injuries. If this was a Pro Bowl center that was missing time and you knew he'd be good for the regular season, they're going to rest him, calf is banged up, you'd feel a lot better. It's not the case. If the situation was reversed and Laremy Tunsil was dealing with a calf injury, I would not be concerned, as long as you knew he was going to be ready for the start of the regular season. Because he's a Pro Bowl left tackle, and you have no worries whatsoever what he can do to protect that blind side of Jaden Daniels. But it's not that case. The missing out on experience, it's similar to like J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy missing an entire rookie season when he was hurt in Minnesota. Even if Sam Darnold would have earned the starting job had J.J. McCarthy been healthy the entire time in the preseason, J.J. McCarthy still missed out on an entire season of true reps because he's hurt and he's rehabbing. And then he comes back and is supposed to start his second year, which was basically his rookie year. He missed out on all that experience in an injury stopped rookie season and did not look prepared. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be the same as Nick Allegretti, but what I am saying is that he is missing valuable time. And that's something that this offense cannot afford. Again, it's why the promise is, at least right now from this defense, they're going to be more aggressive. They're going to be downhill. They're going to be getting after the quarterback. They're going to be looking to generate as many takeaways as they can game after game. They had two in this game today, and they were big. And if they can do that early in the season and this offense is maybe sputtering a little bit, you have some pieces that have to be moved around and some things you got to figure out, it happens all the time in the NFL. If this defense can play the way that they did today against the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Seahawks, the Colts, that's your first 4 weeks of the NFL season. If this defense can generate turnovers and get some stops and get after the quarterback, they're going to make some mistakes. They're going to give up some big plays. It's going to happen, especially when you're an aggressive defense. But if they can show that aggression throughout the start of the regular season, they can help out filling in some of the blanks and some of the areas where the offense is maybe giving them some deficiencies, right? Where you maybe have to generate some extra possessions, give them a short field, or you're actually just going in and getting a pick six, or you're returning a fumble for a touchdown like they did to start the game today against Detroit. That's where the promise can be, and that's where it can help this Commanders team balance things out if they're struggling a little bit on the offense to start the season. So, all right, 17-13 is your final. Lions over the Commanders in Game 2 of the preseason. I'm Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. 17-13, Lions over the Commanders in the second preseason game. Jaden Daniels got the start. It was a 3-and-out. The offensive line did not protect him at all. He's 0-for-1, sacked for a 10-yard loss. It was a 3-and-out. And on 3rd-and-20, they handed the ball off, which, again, you're not going to see you're not going to see big play calls. You're not going to see a lot. But it was either, to me, it was either really commit or just give him nothing at all. Don't put him out there. Now, there's a chance that they looked at the offensive.
They could have gone for it on 3rd-and-20. It still bothers me.
I would have liked to see them just have him get an opportunity, but yeah. Here's the thing, Metal Chris, I would say this. This coaching staff probably looked at that offensive line and the lack of protection he had and said, let's just get him out of here.
Yeah, because, no, again, I think they were scared of the sack.
I think so, too. You get that sack because, again, that was the reason why I didn't even want to see him out there. I mean, no, at some point, he's going to play behind this offensive line. At some point, he's going to have to go out there and deliver. But if it happens in a regular season game, it's better than a preseason game. Having to answer questions, like if Jaden Daniels had gotten hurt on that sack and Dan Quinn's got to ask those questions, answer those questions
sure,
after the game.
Say he's out for 2 months.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's his job that's probably on the line this season if Jaden Daniels is not healthy.
And it's a lot different where the blame goes on you. If it's a preseason game, if it's a regular season game, it's that sucks, but you know, injuries
happen. Well, they were
still
getting after him last year, remember? So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, again, the team won 5 games last year, so it was just a disaster.
Sure, they didn't pull him soon enough in the game he got injured, and then they didn't play him enough after that. Like everybody was mad about whatever he was doing was the wrong, you know.
My hope is that this is a sign the offense is going to be great, and I'll tell you why. Because last year we saw a strong drive against the Bengals where they ran the hell out of the football, and Jaden Daniels ran it in the end zone, and it was like, ooh, this offense still got it from last year. And it wasn't the case at all. So my hope is that this is actually just the opposite. It's the football gods redirecting us to the thought process that actually they're going to be a good, good offense this year. And we just didn't see anything. That's my hope.
Just a dominant offensive line. Just
dominant. Yeah, completely shocks us. Nick Allegretti's a Pro Bowl center. And we're like, everything's worked out. Brandon Coleman's a great left tackle. Wait, we've got two now. This is fantastic. I don't think that's actually going to be the case. And look, there's only so much you can do if your offensive line is not protecting your quarterback. Katron Allen couldn't run the ball as well. I mean, 10 carries for 30 yards. Again, he's a short yardage guy more. They're not going to be giving him 15. He's probably not going to get 10 carries in a game this entire NFL season. I mean, maybe, but I doubt it. Robert Henry Jr., 4 for -3. 4 for -3 yards. That ain't good. So he's going to really, if he wants to make this roster, he's really got to show that he can be a legit back for this offense in that 3rd and final preseason game. And, you know, I think at this point, when we're talking third string quarterback, because again, this is preseason, so we're deep in these battles, aren't we? Ethan Kaliakmanis. Who, Metal Chris?
Kaliakmanis.
There he is. You're just nailing it every time. 11 of 14 for 162 yards. He looked good. He looked accurate. He's got a good arm. I just don't see how you keep Sam Hartman over AK at this point. Hartman was 9 of 11 for 67 yards. Fine, but we've seen it all already with him. We know it. He's not an NFL quarterback. And I'm not saying Ethan Kaliakmanis is going to be some starter one day, but what I am saying is you drafted a guy in the 7th round, a developmental quarterback that's your 3rd-string quarterback is probably the way to go. Now, do they try to keep both and one goes on the practice squad and one's your 3rd-stringer, emergency quarterback, whatever. Like, yeah, there's other options they can do here, but just feels like we're just force feeding Sam Hartman still, and he's just not an NFL quarterback. He's just not. They don't move the ball with him at all. He was worse last game. He's not accurate. He's just not consistent. He's got great hair. He's a handsome guy. He'll have a great life. He's just not an NFL quarterback. It's where we are at this point. I mean, you got opportunities to really see what some of these other guys can do, and Nick Nash and Jaden Bradley at wide receiver. Nick Nash had a 55-yard reception. Jaden Bradley had a 30-yard catch. Antonio Williams had a 21-yard reception. Jacoby Jones caught one for 24. You know, so we're getting some of these wide receiver battles. It's starting to heat up. That's put the offensive line aside and how bad it looked today. In terms of some of the position battles, this wide receiver battle is fascinating to me. Because it's, do you keep six? Do you keep seven? You're not obviously going to keep eight. You're going to have at least six receivers, maybe seven. I think they've got enough on this roster where you keep seven. I really do. I would probably go seven wide receivers and three running backs. I like Robert Henry Jr., but he needed to follow up what he did week one of the preseason against the Dolphins with another big game here against the Lions, and he had four for negative three. It's not going to get you there. So you may have three running backs, and maybe Robert Henry Jr. is on the practice squad. Fine. And you have an extra spot for somebody like Nick Nash or Jaden Bradley. Both are 6'3", 6'4". Treylon Burks hasn't really been around and been hurt again. I think we need to accept who he is, too. He's a guy that's always hurt that'll never really have the opportunity to probably maximize what maybe his skill set could be. And that sucks. That's how the NFL works sometimes. But we just, at this point now, with other big wide receivers that may have less experience, but it's not like Treylon Burks has a ton. He's missed a ton of time in the NFL. Nick Nash or Jaden Bradley brings more value to this offense. Both are big receivers. Both made plays today. Jaden Bradley in that one-handed reception was just, I mean, and yeah, maybe one's active roster and one's practice squad. That's great too. But they've got some talent. They've got some young talent at wide receiver between Nick Nash, Jaden Bradley, obviously Antonio Williams there. Where, I mean, they also have to think about, okay, who's going to be on this roster down the road as we evolve this receiver group? Because, I mean, look, Stephon Diggs might be a one and done here. We don't know. Maybe he's back for another year. We haven't even started this season, so we'll pump the brakes on that. But how much longer is Terry McLaurin a part of this team? It could be one more year. It could be a couple. I mean, again, all of that is up in the air, and the focus is on now. But in the back of your mind, at least, you've got to think, okay, we got something with a Nick Nash, with the Jaden Bradley at wide receiver. Pair him with Antonio Williams. You maybe have a bigger name that's there, and you draft somebody else. Like, you start reshaping this receiver room a couple years from now. You know, we see guys all the time that are late-round picks at wide receiver, undrafted, that have great careers. It's not like that's impossible. That's one of the great things about the NFL, and I think it's one of the good few things about the preseason, is that you do get to see some of these Cinderella stories, these guys that come from smaller schools or don't get drafted, get overlooked, whatever the case is, and then get an opportunity. I mean, Nick Nash came from San Jose State. You know, it's not like he came from a massive program, but they got some players there, right? Jaden Bradley and Nick Nash, I think, both have opportunities to really be a part of this offense in some way. Jaden Bradley coming from UNLV, you know, these aren't big football programs, but it's not like they're tiny little schools in the middle of, like, flyover country that nobody's ever heard of before. But you still get these chances to find guys and go, oh, wow, he got overlooked. Guys get overlooked all the time. It's not like a second-round pick in the NBA, sometimes they pan out, a lot of times they don't. You have an idea of what a player is. Most good players get drafted in the first round. It's just a numbers game, right? In football, you've got 22 main positions, not including special teams. You've got a boatload of programs around the country that are maybe smaller, where guys aren't necessarily seen. The film didn't get out there. They never got a chance to transfer somewhere bigger or didn't get recruited as much, whatever the case is. And there's just so much wide receiver talent in college football that guys do get overlooked, and they get a chance in the preseason to make a name for themselves, and they turn into the next Victor Cruz. I mean, it happens. So, I mean, that's where the value is in preseason. It just has no value for starters anymore. And I think we're seeing that at this point now. Again, I didn't want Jaden out there at all, so he got out safe, healthy. That's all we care about, right? Like, that's what matters. But, man, just, I mean, a big nothing burger from that group. And you just saw it right away. It's like the minute Jaden Daniels snapped the ball, it was like, oh, my God. I mean, that first throw, he just had to get rid of it.
He looked kind of unprepared.
He looked unprepared. The offense looked completely disheveled. And give our guy AK credit, 11 of 14, 162 yards. Might be making this roster at quarterback. And I support it. I like it. I think he might end up being a really good pick for them and a solid backup down the road. Maybe a year or two he is the backup, and Marcus Mariota retires, and Sam Hartman's modeling somewhere, and you're good. I mean, it's a great this is why developing players does matter, and this team has to, like, really, if you're drafting a quarterback every year as a developmental player, you can get him on the practice squad, somebody to pans out, oh, this guy's better, you just move on. Like, it happens all the time. So 17-13, your final, the Lions over the Commanders in the second preseason game. We got Nats and Marlins coverage coming up next, where we will see starters. And that will matter a lot more. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team.